Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We are excited to be with you for the next 3 hours. Today is kind of a ho-hum, nothing's going on day, September 22nd. You kind of just cross it off the calendar and you look ahead to the 23rd.
What? We got fall in the air.
Oh, okay.
Logan's birthday is 1 month from the day.
We're 1 month out from Logan Ward's birthday, yeah. Which is exciting to everybody.
And the trolls are alive and well today because I see two of them in here.
But that pretty much covers it. Did I miss anything?
Totally.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Happy birthday to you. Yeah, it's been a great day so far. Shouts to my husband. Sent me a beautiful arrangement of flowers.
Very nicely done.
You brought me a coffee today.
I did.
And the only, the closest thing to a pinkies up emoji for my coffee order is the aloha sign. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It still works, right?
Yeah.
I sent you the Robin Lopez GIF to give you a sense of our show prep on the text thread. So
good.
It's got the vanilla in there.
Yeah, the little vanilla, little oat milk.
There you go.
Yeah, you got a zag every once in a while. So, you know, don't be like everybody else, just drinking dairy.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I treated myself to a black coffee, hold everything. So we're off and running.
Yeah, we're off and running. And no, it's gonna be a great day. And I think this rain, it's moving out. So tonight is supposed to be really a nice evening. And then this weekend, people, we are setting up for just about perfection
when it comes to how
everything is going to be this weekend. So we'll make it through and get your fall decorations out. Do y'all have any fall decorations out at the house yet?
I don't think so.
No, we don't either. We don't either. I'm not one of those people that can put up fall stuff when it's 85 outside. I just can't do it.
Yeah. We're getting everything in order. Ward's about to take off. But yeah, the last couple weeks we've been rearranging. So we're good to go.
You had to move some dining room chairs, right?
Max.
We got a climber.
I talked to Chris Marion recently. He's like, yeah, tune in. You're calling Max a maniac. It's like, that's putting it lightly with this small little monster that exists. We love him. We do. It is your birthday. For your birthday, would you like an update on Joe Milton and his status?
Yes, I would love that.
Well, that's too bad. Oh. That is too bad. Josh Heupel asked just a moment ago on the teleconference for an update on Joe Milton, and there is no update on his status. 3 days out from Tennessee, Florida.
On the flip side, and we'll go over this here in a second, yep. Dan Mullen does have an update on Anthony Richardson.
Why don't we get to it as we take our look around the sports world. So with Tennessee's quarterback position, we shall see on Saturday. We'll have a look at who's benched or battle ready, by the way, thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy coming up at 2 o'clock today. Don't miss that. On Florida's side, Emory Jones will be the starter. We know that. And we don't know exactly what will happen on the field, but Dan Mullen, speaking about an hour ago, a little less than that, on the SEC coaches teleconference, said that he anticipates that Anthony Richardson should be ready to go Saturday. And if that is truly the case, I would expect to see him. Again, how it plays out, what they're doing offensively, I don't know. But he's a really talented player, so I would expect that Dan Mullen is going to want to use him.
It's definitely a guy that's got some packages, right? I mean, he's got some special things that they are waiting to see from the defense that, hey, you can go in there and you can make something happen. He's definitely been a catalyst and a spark to this point for Florida. And yeah, I would imagine you are going to see a nice dose of Anthony Richardson on Saturday.
Yep. So we'll look for updates. We will talk to Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel tomorrow on the show to get a better idea of where Florida is personnel-wise going into this game, coming off an impressive showing in a loss against Alabama this past weekend. We also received the 2022 schedule for Tennessee football yesterday. Army is off the schedule. Akron will replace Army on September 17th in between a game at Pitt and Florida in Knoxville. So the opener will be Ball State September 3rd, September 10th. Tennessee will travel to Pitt September 17th. Host Akron, and then host Florida the following week. Then with an off week, October 1st, Tennessee will get ready for a trip to Baton Rouge against LSU October 8th. The following week, Alabama comes to Knoxville, and Georgia November 5th on the road will kick off the month of November. Some notable games on the schedule.
Make your plans. Go down to LSU. No matter what, they could be breaking in a new coach next season, so we'll see what happens there. It's definitely a possibility, but it's a trip that Tennessee has not made since Derek Dooley was the head coach, correct? Yeah. 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 There's been a lot of life change for all of us talking right now.
Yeah. LSU was here 4 years ago.
Yes. Yes. I knew we had played them, but had not been to Baton Rouge since the Derek Dooley era. Make your plans. Go down there. It is one of the coolest spots to go in all of college football.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Army off the schedule, kind of buying out of that game to have Akron come in instead. I don't think it's a huge cost by college football standards, but thoughts there. I will say, when I saw that, I was reminded several weeks ago we were looking at non-conference games, that Army was on the schedule, and I remember thinking, I don't like that for Tennessee. So yeah. I bet there were a lot of Tennessee fans that were excited about the idea of seeing that game, and of course you're going to have military connections that I think will create disappointment from a football standpoint. I don't think that would have been good for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it just kind of is what it is. I'm going to put it in the is what it is category. I'm not embarrassed by it. It's not like getting North Carolina off your schedule several years ago.
Right.
But yeah, you're just is what it is category. Not underwhelmed, not overwhelmed, not going to freak out about it.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. Some football updates for you. Luke Doty will start at quarterback for South Carolina versus Kentucky. That's a important game in the SEC. Also, injury updates in the NFL. We'll dive through details on the injuries, but Tua Tagovailoa out versus the Raiders this week. Jacoby Brissett will start for the Dolphins, and Tyrod Taylor on IR, out 2 to 4 weeks, it looks like, with the hamstring injury. So Jeff Driskel activated from the practice squad to back up rookie Davis Mills as you get the Panthers and Texans on Thursday night.
All right. Load up on the Panthers. Probably going to be good. I know I jumped on it at, I think, 7 or 7.5 the other day. So that's probably looking pretty good right now. And we still just continue to scratch our heads with what is going on with Deshaun Watson and the Texans, but not good news, Tyrod Taylor. And you hope that he can come back in just 2 weeks. You know, the problem with hamstring, you can re-aggravate it, you know, at any point in time as you're trying to heal up and get back to action. So this could linger on for a while for the Texans.
Yep, something to pay attention to. Wild guess here. I don't think Panthers-Texans will draw the rating from a Thursday night football game that Bucks-Cowboys drew.
Yeah.
That's my bold prediction of the week.
There were some games on Sunday and Monday Night Football that didn't draw the ratings that the Cowboys Bucks game drew. Just awesome. The schedule has been great so far. You got another Manning cast coming up on Monday Night Football with the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Yeah.
So there's lots
good
to look
slate.
Forward to. And I'm just wondering, looks like the Raiders versus the Dolphins is going to be another win for your team, buddy. Like, how long is this win streak going to go? I'm kind of excited for you.
Yeah, don't jinx it, and let's see exactly what Derek Carr's status is as well. But, I think feeling pretty good with where things are after the first two games. Beating the Ravens and Steelers, the Dolphins, I don't think, are those two teams. The St. Louis Cardinals to baseball, not the team we saw in the middle of the summer. 10 straight wins now. Another win against division-leading Milwaukee last night. 10 straight wins for the Cardinals, who are now 12 games above 500 and a really good position to get a wild card spot in the NL playoffs. You have the Dodgers still leading the way by a wide margin. They'll be in the playoffs. It's a matter of whether by winning the division or not. But the Cardinals now a 4-game lead on the Reds, 4.5-game lead on the Phillies, 5-game lead on the Padres for that second wild card spot.
Yeah, that 10-0 streak is just unreal. Not a huge run differential. They're +7 right now, but something's clicking at the right point in time. Ben Fred covering the Cardinals over there.
It's probably him.
Yeah, he's the good luck charm. Follow him on Twitter as he'll keep you up to date with what's going on, but that's exciting for St. Louis. Kind of counted them out. I'm pretty sure I had them as like a playoff team whenever we were doing our picks at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
I'll look through my notes.
If I remember correctly, I had the Brewers ahead of the Cardinals by about 9.5 games in late September with my predictions. America's team update: the Braves still with a 3-game lead on the Phillies, 7 games in front of the Mets.
Okay.
Counting down the days until Tyler Ivins brings me a burrito bowl.
All right. So my 70%, I'm feeling pretty good, correct?
49% is where we're locking that number in, a percentage chance for the Braves to get to the postseason. And then back to the NFL, Antonio Brown placed on the reserve COVID list. The Bucs still have a number of weapons, but Antonio Brown on the reserve COVID list, ahead of a big game, Bucks-Rams will be a really good one, I think, this upcoming weekend.
Bucks-Rams is going to be huge. The Bucks have to go out to Los Angeles, so there's that travel factor that has become less of a factor over the years with like sports science and what we know about like taking care of your body while you're traveling. But still, I think it's significant in Tom Brady, that offensive line and him, that's going to be tested with that amazing Rams defense. So I think that's one of the marquee games this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, the Bucks, they have this game on the road against Los Angeles. You know where they go next week?
No, I haven't looked ahead.
New England.
Ooh, Brady back in New England.
Back in New England, yeah.
How many Brady fans will be in that stadium? Everybody's pretty much unanimously going to be rooting for Brady, correct?
That's going to be a weird week because you'll have a mix. I think a legitimate split of some Patriots fans are going to be saying, hey, Tom's our guy. Now, some know him, like this, the celeb fans. Matt Damon has said, I'm pulling for Brady.
Yeah.
But
it's one game.
I would still think the majority are pulling for the Patriots, right? Not for Brady to beat their team.
I would think that they would be cheering for the Patriots, but also cheering when Brady does something well. Like, they're cheering for their team. They want their team to win, but will also show Brady some love. I don't think the Boo Birds are going to be out by any stretch of Gillette, but who knows? I mean, it's a rowdy fan base.
Anybody who boos should be escorted out of the stadium.
Yeah. I was going over the Yahoo Sports morning newsletter yesterday, and it was by Jay Hart. Just the three Hall of Fame careers that Brady looks like he's going to have in one career in the NFL. Just unreal. And the fact that 40s Brady could end up being better than 20s Brady is just nuts.
He is, knock on wood health-wise, he's just a few weeks away from throwing more touchdown passes in his 40s than he did in his 20s.
Only needs 14, correct?
I think that's the number.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He'll get there. We'll
he's got nine through two games. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Hey, the pace will come down. He's on pace for 76 this year.
Yeah.
So off to a pretty good start. We'll continue here on Sports 180 with our look around the sports world. More Tennessee, Florida talk. We'll see what David Cobb of CBSSports.com thinks about the game when we talk to him at 12:30. So a lot of football talk this hour and this afternoon on Sports 180. So it's a split show. Half of the show, we're talking Tennessee, Florida, and football. Half the show celebrating Heather Harrington's birthday.
Oh, I love this.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Show me the love. Show me the love, everybody.
Yeah. So it's like 45, those two things, 10% eye rolls. We'll continue on Sports 180-656-9900 if you would like to join us on 99.1, the sports animal. This is for Heather Harrington from Logan Ward. Happy birthday.
Yeah. We're going to put this song in Baby Shark category. You probably don't want to hear it too many times.
Yeah. What is this courtesy of? We'll give proper credit there, Logan.
I'm not sure. Hang on.
Okay. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Well,
I just typed in happy birthday song.
There you go.
Top
of the list. Top of the top to you. Happy birthday, Heather. We're off and running on this Wednesday afternoon, halfway through hump day with Florida week.
We had turned the page Tuesday yesterday. We are, getting ready for Saturday's game today and trying to maybe see the bright side of things, talk about the opportunities that will be available for Tennessee that they could try and capitalize on. But just getting no news out of Tennessee about personnel and who the guy is, I still think that's a little misguided. I understand wanting to play things close to the vest, but you also have to realize that people are like in these little factions clamoring for different guys. And I think announcing a starter is good to just kind of, okay, this is our guy. It's no longer up for debate at this point in time. I mean, I know some people will still debate it, but let's get behind this guy and hope that, things start clicking. So I would have liked to known who was going to be leading said charge into the swamp, but we'll see what emerges on that 7 o'clock.
We'll see how this develops as the week goes along, but Florida's a big favorite, 20 points, roughly. Public betting is on Tennessee side, and even more of the money is on Tennessee side.
Oh!
Yeah, this is plus 20, not to win the game, but what do you think when you hear that?
Well, the first part means, kind of nothing, but the second part with the sharp money coming in on it, that means that people are really paying attention and think Tennessee is maybe a little better than what the line would indicate. So I like it. That you should be optimistic about that.
Will you take this? Sportsline's simulation gives Tennessee about a 10% chance to win. 91% of the time, Florida wins.
Yes. And I think that's...
Will you take that take that shot, 1 in 10 shot.
1 in 10 shot. You know, if you have some big play ability from one of these quarterbacks, like if one of the quarterbacks elevates, if it's Hendon Hooker or if it's Joe Milton, and you're able to kind of capitalize on that, I would give you more of a chance. But yeah, as it stands right now, you got a puncher's chance. We'll see what happens.
Tennessee, I think, should be able to score some points. When we talk about Tennessee's ability to keep it close, you know, you can look at the final score. Is that close or was the game close? Those can be two different conversations. Like last year, Tennessee covered the line. And if you look at the final score, you might think, okay, maybe it was kind of competitive. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
To me, can kind of set the point spread aside. Obviously, if Tennessee doesn't cover, that means you've lost by 21 plus, then there's no way to spin that positively, I would imagine. Unless it's like two really late scores. But I think a big conversation, you want to win the game. If you don't, you want to be talking about a game where in the third and fourth quarter, you felt better about the game as opposed to, why don't we turn this off? That's a lot of what you have to change, because you still have Georgia, you still have Alabama to go. We'll see about Ole Miss. That, you know, that potentially could be problematic. But in this game, if you go down there and you come back and it was just all Florida for four quarters,
yeah,
that's going to have a negative impact. If you go down there and you lose the game, but you're competitive, not playing the moral victory card, I'm just talking about something to build on here. Good performance against what I think is a really good team in Florida, that would at least be something to build on. And then see what you can do next week. If you're competitive against Florida, but you lose on the road to Missouri next week, well, then everything I've just said is lost.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. This is one of those measuring stick games. You know, how do you stack up against the best of the best? It looks like Florida has cleared either one or two hurdles as they're trying to be back to being elite in the SEC. I mean, played in the SEC title game last year, you know, and that was a very competitive game. Mm-hmm. Then took Bama down to the wire last week. So this is a measuring stick game. They look better than what maybe we thought they were at the beginning of the season, despite having lost who they lost to the NFL draft. So how do you stack up against those guys? Can you go out and impress? On the flip side, can you also make Florida maybe look a little bad? You know, maybe you don't win, but can you kind of make it where they're the butt of some jokes, and maybe not having your prized recruit in the city of Knoxville tweeting about the Gators and a potential championship and wanting to go there?
Yeah, you'd like that to stop. For sure. So what kind of chance does Tennessee have to be competitive, to have a shot there against the Gators in Gainesville Saturday night? We will ask David Cobb of CBSSports.com when we come back. We're with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Right now, we hit a midday sports minute with Logan Ward on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on The Sports Animal.
Last night, the 2022 SEC schedules were released. Tennessee will pull LSU and Alabama as their Western Divisional crossover opponents. Then they will travel to Pittsburgh in Week 2, and they will now play Akron in Week 3 instead of Army. The open date comes in Week 5 on October the 1st. NFL injury news. Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin announced yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger is dealing with a pectoral issue, and he's been added to their injury list. The Browns have placed wide receiver Jarvis Landry on their IR with a MCL sprain in his left knee, and he will miss a minimum of 3 games. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores announces that after further testing, Tua Tagovailoa has fractured ribs and will not play this week. He left Sunday's game against the Bills with the injury. Major League Baseball games going on today. The Braves will be at the Diamondbacks at 9:40. The Reds face the Pirates at 12:35. The Cubs host the Twins at 7:40. And the Yankees host the Rangers at 7:05. Have a good afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Hope you're having a great Wednesday afternoon. Welcome to the fall with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. We go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome in David Cobb, who covers college football for CBSSports.com. David, we appreciate the time as always. You've covered some Tennessee-Florida games in your time. What do you think with this one? With Josh Heupel and his first year at Tennessee, they're big underdogs on the road in Gainesville this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind is Butch Jones' first trip down to Gainesville. Similar situation, didn't know who was going to be starting at quarterback. He made a really bad decision. He started Nathan Peterman at quarterback. For some reason, he thought it would be smart to give a guy his first real playing time of his career on the road in the swamp, and it didn't go very well. Thankfully, Tennessee has some options with a little more experience this time around, but I'm not terribly optimistic about their chances. I mean, we saw what Florida did defensively in the second half against what might turn out to be the best offense in the country with Alabama. And so even in a 56-0 victory, wasn't totally overly impressed with the way that Tennessee scored. My expectations are very, very low for Tennessee. I just think it's a really tough spot for them to go into right now.
David, based on what you just said and us not knowing, you know, Joe Milton's health status and who's been practicing the ball or who's taken the most reps with the ones lately, who do you think is best equipped to handle the starting quarterback duties at this point in time? And is there anybody that, like, are you looking at upside? Are you canceling people because of fatal flaws? Just how do you see making the quarterback decision for this coaching staff?
I mean, it is what it is with the three that you got. And I don't think there's a slam dunk option from any of the three. And so I'm riding with Milton. If he's healthy, I don't think he did anything to lose the job. I know he wasn't accurate on the deep balls. That is well established and well known. Well, I mean, who of the other two of the deep balls that we've seen them throw, how much better have they been? I mean, not much. So I think Milton, to me, he didn't lose the job. He got hurt. That's the way I see it. And so you don't take a guy's job away because of an injury. I mean, that's sort of an unwritten rule across all levels of sport. And so if he's back and he's healthy, I think he should start, and I think he should get a chance to play. And I think he will be. I think, I mean, if I had to guess, they're probably holding him out against Tennessee Tech because they didn't need him. I mean, they didn't need to push the envelope against that type of opponent and bring a guy back maybe – before he was 100%. I would imagine he's 100% now. I think he's probably the guy that gets the start. And, you know, if you go back to the first quarter against Bowling Green, there was a lot to like about the way he ran that offense. And if he can somehow kind of find that rhythm again and then maybe just hit on, you know, 30 or 40% of the deep balls, I still think there's some promise there for Tennessee with him at quarterback at some point this season.
David Cobb is with us, CBSSports.com, and I have seen your pick against the spread as you and your colleagues made for the top 25 games. You don't think this goes well for the Vols on Saturday?
No, I don't, because I think what I'm probably most concerned about is three and outs snowballing. Tennessee hasn't really had a ton of three and outs yet this year, but we saw against Pittsburgh that offense did put Tennessee's defense in some tough spots by not being able to stay on the field. And the defense really stepped up to the challenge against Pitt, and I thought played pretty well, at least well enough to give Tennessee a chance to win the game. I think Florida's offense, especially if Anthony Richardson is playing, might be a little more dynamic than Pitt's offense, might be a little tougher in the ground game, might be able to really make Tennessee pay physically if the offense isn't able to stay on the field. You know, and I think Florida, this could be a spot where they really dominate time and possession. I see him winning this game by, you know, three or four touchdowns. That spread, I think, is about 19.5. So, I mean, I'll take the three touchdown, you know, win for Florida, because I think, I just think that defense is going to really give Tennessee's offense a lot of problems.
David, what kind of wrinkles do you think Anthony Richardson brings to the table that this Tim Banks defense is going to have to prepare for?
Yeah, he's by far, I would say, probably the most mobile quarterback that Tennessee has seen. I mean, Kenny Pickett can get out and run a little bit. It's not really his go-to move, though. with Anthony Richardson, I mean, don't get me wrong, he can certainly throw it as well, but he's just been so dangerous with his legs. And so you can be in a really good call defensively. You can take away the first or second option of a given play design, and then Anthony Richardson's the type who can just improvise and just punish you, because he's a physical runner. He's very fast. He looks like the future at Florida. The comparison has been made by others that he is the Tebow right now, and Emory Jones is the Chris Leak, you know, where they're just giving Anthony Richardson some run here and there behind the established veteran with the knowledge that as this thing moves forward, it'll eventually be the Anthony Richardson show.
We're talking to David Cobb from CBSSports.com. What do you think about the Arkansas-Texas A&M matchup in the SEC West this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Arkansas. I like them straight up. I mean, I know they're like a six-point underdog, but I don't really know why. I think that sort of blind faith in the rankings and blind faith in the 24/7 sports team talent composite, you know. But if you actually look at the product that those two programs have put on the field, this season, to me, it's pretty obvious that Arkansas has been the better team so far. And I might be more inclined to take Texas A&M if Haynes King was going to be, you know, playing in this game. But with Zach Calzada at quarterback, I'm just not sure that this Texas A&M offense can score more than, you know, 14 points against Arkansas. I mean, he was a little bit better against New Mexico this past Saturday, but he still wasn't great, and that's a bad New Mexico team. And so I just have very little faith in Texas A&M with Calzada at quarterback.
Also, is Arkansas just sneaky hard place to play?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, this, yeah, Arkansas is, I mean, that environment in Fayetteville, when they played Texas, was one of the best in the country. Now, I mean, this one's going to be in Arlington, so it's technically a neutral site, but I think you might see a pretty strong representation of Arkansas fans there. And, you know, it's just going to be a spot where an inexperienced quarterback is, I don't know. I mean, it's not like KJ Jefferson for Arkansas has a ton of experience under his belt either, but he's just looked a lot better, I think, than Calzada has for A&M.
David Cobb, CBSSports.com. David, the best team in the Big Ten is?
Ooh. I'm going to go to Penn State, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge win over a really good Auburn team, and then they've also beaten Wisconsin on the road. They've shown more than any other team in that conference so far. So will they be the best team at the end of the season? I don't know. I mean, obviously Ohio State could still get back in the mix. We'll see this week if Wisconsin's got a push in them. I love it, though. I love the fact that it's not so clear-cut right now. And that goes not just for the Big Ten, but really all around the country. I mean, Ohio State and Clemson bringing up the rear in the top 10, you know, of the polls this week, which is, you know, who knows? They might end up in the playoff when it's all said and done, but the fact that there's so much uncertainty just makes, to me, it makes the college football season a whole lot more fun.
David, I know that everybody's getting together right now in Dallas to talk about college football expansion and what that could mean, what it could look like. We were very intrigued by that this summer, as was kind of everybody when those stories broke about the potential. What do you think is going to happen, and what kind of timeline do you think we are working on right now for college football expansion?
Yeah, I'm not optimistic. All the reports, I mean, goodness, I mean, some of the things that these commissioners are saying on the record, it's just borderline unfathomable. I mean, you know, I was reading a Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated with some quotes from, you know, nearly every conference commissioner and key player in this discussion. And some of the things, the tongue-in-cheek and just snarling sarcasm of Greg Sankey on the record is just unbelievable. And you know, and my colleague Dennis Dodd with a story a couple hours ago, really casting doubt over whether any kind of proposal is going to be brought to the table and voted on next week. And I mean, I'm riding with those guys. I mean, they're talking to the people who are in that room right now, and the expectation is not very positive that something gets done. So honestly, I love the 12-team proposal. I thought it was great. I think it was the best thing for everybody in the sport, but I understand these people who felt like they weren't a part of that conversation want their voices heard. And, you know, I don't know that they really know what they want. If you're looking at those three new Power Five conference commissioners in the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12, I mean, have they studied the issue? Do they really have a viable alternative? I don't think so. I think they're just going to try to hold this thing up because they feel like they were left out of the initial conversation.
It seems like there's no end to off-the-field conversation in college football, from the portal to name, image, likeness to conference realignment, playoff expansion. When does it stop?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's just, you know, and that's just the beginning. I mean, if you want to go even deeper, you've got the recent Supreme Court ruling that threatens the amateurism model as a whole. You know, huge TV rights negotiations coming up. It's a lot of change. It's interesting, though. I mean, it made our off season a little bit less slow, I guess. I mean, there's plenty to write about, plenty to talk about, and I don't know when it stops. I mean, it's going to keep going on for a while because these we're just kind of getting the ball rolling on some of these changes. I mean, the NIL stuff is so new, the portal stuff is so new. You know, another thing with the portal that we're seeing some response to now is a proposal that should be going into effect pretty soon That's going to allow programs to replace up to 7 transferring players in a recruiting class. So they would be able to sign up to 32 now instead of just 25, as long as they're replacing transfers. Something that would have really helped Josh Heupel at Tennessee if that had been in effect, you know, 6 months ago. But, you know, that there's going to be a ton of little things like that, rules that are changed and just sort of it's all part of a massive seismic shift in college sports that's not slowing down anytime soon.
No doubt. David Cobb is a part of the team covering it at CBSSports.com. We're about a month and a half out from college basketball as well. You can find that coverage from David and his colleague, CBSSports.com. Hey, David, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
David Kopp right here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
A lot of good matchups this week, too. And I didn't realize that Arkansas A&M game, you know, we kind of roll our eyes with these neutral site games. It's got to be cool to play in Arlington and play where they're playing. That's super cool. But the Arkansas atmosphere in the Texas game was incredible. I have been to Arkansas's campus. I did not actually go to the game, but I was on campus while a football game was going on, and it was unreal. And that was like 15 years ago. So the fact that now it's probably even better than what it was back then, just get more of these games on campus.
Yeah, I would be in favor of that. It is an annual deal for it to be neutral site there in Arlington. So it's similar to the cocktail party and Cotton Bowl. But with this one, I mean, I would say go home and home, but they didn't ask me on that one.
Well, also, watching what happened in the Swamp last Saturday, wouldn't you like to see the Georgia-Florida game be in each other's stadiums?
I would. I mean, I kind of like that where it is, but SEC scheduling is just so goofy. Scheduling is a little different than home site, but yeah, I saw it brought up again. You know, this Alabama-Florida game was great, but because the way the SEC does its scheduling, you don't often get Alabama versus Florida or Alabama versus Georgia. So the marquee matchups that could put your league on display, you purposely avoid those during the regular season, which doesn't make any sense. You obviously still get good matchups, especially in division, but your biggest brands cross division see each other rarely, and it's by your doing. That doesn't. Why do you do that?
It's completely arbitrary. That is set to change, though, more quickly than we think, I think. With the introduction,
when
the league expands, whenever that is, they're gonna have to go to the expanded schedule, probably 9 games, and then also rework possibly cross division opponents so that you get a better rotation
and get rid of Tennessee Tech or Missouri, Southeast Missouri State. No thanks, give me those games. Snarky Josh on a Wednesday. We'll come back here with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. The face-off. Can Heather Harrington get a birthday win?
I know. I'm 0-2 this week.
Yeah,
jeez.
We'll see. Logan Ward will rule in the next segment on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back into Sports 180. Logan Ward's favorite band coming back in as we're with you until 3 o'clock.
Has to be one of their best songs. Has to be.
No doubt about it.
Incredible.
There's no bad song.
Well, that is absolutely true. We got to get Logan on a listen party. We're going to do like fire pit night or something and have Logan come out to the house and listen to some Led. Just
I
pull
have
on
music
Led Zeppelin. And you would love Pink Floyd, too.
People
the older
that give me
I get.
Music to listen to, movies to watch, TV shows to watch.
What's the biggest movie you're supposed to be watching at this point?
Varsity Blues. Eric and Brian have been on my case for about a month now about watching Varsity Blues, and I've yet to do that.
It's classic.
You would like it. Yeah.
It's really good. And it ages well. I mean, even, you know, it's not totally, totally dated, even though, you know, nobody has a cell phone. now movies made, you know, before 2010 without cell phones, you're
people
like, oh my gosh.
People don't have cell phones at a time?
Yeah. You know, I like went my whole life. Until I think I got my first cell phone when I came to college. I think that's why I got a cell phone. And they used to charge you for text messages. Like, I used to have a $300 cell phone bill, and my parents were like, what's going on? You need to stop with the text messages. And you know what I couldn't stop? With the text messages.
Coming up, what's a CD as we hit today's face-off? All righty, Logan, what do you have for us today?
Guys, good afternoon. Who has been the best rookie quarterback through 2 weeks in the NFL?
Well, I can't say Zach Wilson after this past weekend. That didn't go great for him and the Jets against the Patriots. I'm going to go with the guy he went up against, who's also in the most favorable situation easily in that regard, Mac Jones I still will bet on Trevor Lawrence being terrific as a quarterback in the NFL, but his team's not going to have much success, and he'll go through growing pains.
Yeah, he definitely will. I think you're absolutely right with it being Mac Jones. I mean, he's completing a high percentage of his passes. His overall quarterback rating, you would want it to be higher, but also... he's new on the job. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. it is what it is.
Coach in the league.
Yeah. I still want to see more from Zach Wilson. I'm not ready to just go ahead and throw the baby out with the bathwater by any stretch, but Mac Jones, probably leader in the clubhouse right now.
Which top 25 college football team are you putting on upset alert this weekend?
Ooh, man. Well, could we go to David Cobb and what he just said with the Arkansas-Texas A&M sure. matchup? You still have some big-time question marks at the quarterback spot for Texas A&M. And Arkansas, I don't know what kind of juice or mojo they're playing with right now, but it's kind of undeniable. So I'll put Texas A&M on upset alert.
Yeah, that's a really good pick. I'll try to give you one where it's not top 25 versus top 25, and this is an upset alert, but Michigan State coming off an impressive showing against Miami. Logan Ward's giving me a face. Nebraska looked
probably
better,
already got Sparty.
looked better than expected against Oklahoma. That offense did some things this past week. So upset alert, Michigan State, don't get the big head because you're a top 25 team.
Which 2-0 NFL team will stay unbeaten the longest?
Well, I would like to say the Bucs because I've been riding high on what the Bucs can do and will do. But you go to L.A., this is going to be tough. I think they have a good chance to win, but then you have to go to New England and try to get a win. So I'm going to go look at the schedules right now, and I'm going to say give me the Las Vegas Raiders because I think their schedule is very favorable if they can beat the Chargers week four.
I was wondering when you were going to start buying in to your Las Vegas Raiders.
I'm afraid of it, but I think the Bucks would be good to split the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, Denver with the Jets matchup, I mean, that's definitely a favorable one, but then they've got the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers looming. Also, I'm intrigued by the Carolina Panthers. They're just flying right there under the radar. You've seen Dallas play lackluster in the NFC East. I mean, they're not scoffing at that.
Dallas isn't losing at home week four to the Panthers, are they?
Let's hope not.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll ride with you on your Las Vegas Raiders. But watch the Broncos, too.
They're going to lose to Brissett this week.
Watch the Broncos, too.
Happy 61st birthday to Scott Baio. Did I say it right?
You did.
There we go. What is your favorite 80s sitcom?
Love some Charles in Charge. That gets a huge one. No, my absolute favorite, though, of the 80s, it's Growing Pains. Doesn't get any better than Growing Pains, numero uno.
Yeah, it's a good pick. There are so many that I enjoy, and this one is not one that I think is accepted, and I'm probably just going to lose the face-off anyway, but I still enjoyed the show, and it was my favorite if we're looking at sitcoms from that decade. The Cosby Show. And I'm aware of what's happened since.
You can compartmentalize.
But also, you took Growing Pains, which was very high on my list, so I'll go with The Cosby Show.
All righty, guys. Last one. What is your favorite Florida memory?
I consider going with the Marco Wilson shoe toss, but that's not fair. Here's what I'm really going to say. It's the back and forth, Spurrier and Tennessee. Both teams are terrific. Florida had the advantage, but Tennessee was competitive. You know what happened in 98, 20 years ago, that huge win down the swamp in 2001. But Spurrier giving it to the Tennessee fan base, Tennessee fans hating a guy that came from the state. That's my favorite Florida memory.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just wonderful. If we want to get game specific, I'll go back to Ainge's freshman year. I know that we have a more recent win, and there's been a lot of back and forth.
But only one more.
Yeah, only one more win. You're absolutely right. Thank you, 2016. But no, I just remember being on campus. Everybody was talking about this hotshot recruit that was in town, and he was a freshman, and there was this quarterback battle. And then when he beat... when he beat Florida as a freshman, I mean, people just went nuts. I remember the athletic department was all a buzz. So I'll go back to 2004 because I was on campus and thoroughly living my best life. Yeah.
All right, Heather, happy birthday.
Pity win, and I will take it. Thank you.
No, you had a good showing. I don't know that I had the best one. So I'm okay using the Cosby Show.
I think so. I'm still going to love the Usual Suspects, and I understand that Kevin Spacey is probably not somebody you would ever want one of your loved ones around, but it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. So
yeah, that's true. Charles in Charge would rank high, though. I love the show.
Charles in Charge was great.
Happy birthday to Scott Baio as well.
Yeah.
Look at you two.
I know, we're shared a birthday. He's 61, though, so I'm feeling a little bit better about my age that I'm hitting today. Tom Miller reminded me, 28 and holding. I was like, I'm not going to lie to the people. It's will be more accurate. It's 29.
I didn't pay attention when Logan said that. He's 61?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? 61. Yep. Charles. He's still in charge, though. Still in charge.
No doubt about it. All right, that is the face-off. Heather gets the win. It is presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
Also got the win today when I went in for my weekly adjustment at Marble City Chiropractic. Also having a little bit of a hand issue, so they went ahead and x-rayed that for me. They're just taking care of me left and right. Appreciate all of them at Marble City Family Chiropractic. You can get rid of aches and pains in a natural way at Marble City. Call them, 766-2081. Set up your one-on-one consultation and literally start feeling better every day. Start living the life you were designed to live, thanks to Marble City Chiropractic.
Also, one more thing. Did we end up mentioning every single team of the 2-0 question in the NFL?
No.
Which, okay, we didn't mention them all.
We didn't mention them all. Okay. I'm trying to pull up Warren Sharp's thing. We did not mention Arizona. I mean, they're going to go one more week, and then we'll see what happens. I mean, the Rams, San Francisco looming, that's going to be tough.
If the Bucs do get through the next 2 weeks at the Rams, at the Patriots...
Incredible.
They're the answer, I think, because they have the Dolphins. Philly on the road won't be easy, but you can win that one. The Bears at home. So if they get through the next 2 weeks, look out for what this Bucs team might do.
I don't think the Bucs win this week.
Now?
Yeah.
Taking the Rams?
Yeah. I think it's the safer call. I think that defense, this is going to be a big test for Tom Brady and that offensive line. And they can't run the ball. You know, they have not. Where's playoff Lenny? Playoff Lenny is the last season. I mean, their running game has really struggled. And I just feel like the Rams are licking their chops.
Yep. All right. Go Raiders. That's the takeaway. 2 hours of Sports 180 to go. Tennessee, Florida talk, and monitoring things on campus this afternoon right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.